Buenos días. Curtis Gospel Chapel. Bueno. Yeah, bueno. Mucho grande bueno. I'm trying. I am trying. I am absolutely thrilled to be here. I am. I love Curtis. I was thinking about Curtis and discussing with Greg Steigelman, Murphy, why you stayed open during COVID. And I told Murphy last night the reason why they stayed open and Danny did that was because if he didn't, you wouldn't be here. You would have shut down and it would have been over. Praise God for faithful brethren. Jerry was that way too. Jerry, they had a major league split in this place years ago, and Jerry stayed the course. And that's why we're here today. And I love it. I love it. That's called character. From the inside out, that's character. You don't have to have an advanced degree or Bible college diploma or anything to have great character. Yes?
That took a whole team to keep this place alive.
I'm sorry?
It took a whole team.
It sure did. Yeah. But you have to have a spark plug somewhere. You have to have a spark plug somewhere. That's for sure. I would like to talk. I'm going slower. This is like amazing for me. So you can Google Translate. And yeah, that's okay. It's okay. If you have a question, I told you, if you have a question, I will go slow enough and we'll do that. It's important stuff. A number of years ago, there was a fella driving driving a car with an evangelist in the back seat, sleeping in the back seat. And as he slept, the driver needed gas, gasoline, petrol. So he pulls up to a gas station and he gets gas and he goes inside to pay. The guy sleeping wakes up and has to go to the restroom. So he gets out, he goes to the restroom. The guy that paid goes and gets in the car, doesn't look, and just continues on their trip. So the guy in the gas station, in the restroom, comes out, and his friend is gone. That man that came out was Billy Graham. The man that drove it was his childhood friend and co-worker, T. Grady Wilson. And so Billy Graham goes into the gas station. This is in his younger days, of course. goes into the gas station and says, "Can I use the phone? I really need to call somebody." He goes, "Who are you?" And he goes, "I'm Billy Graham." And the guy goes, "Yeah, right." "Yeah, right. Oh, man." And so eventually they kind of worked out. You know, eventually they got the whole thing worked out. But it's an interesting thing. It is an interesting thing. When you look at the passage that we're going to look at, we're going to talk about privileged people. Privileged people. That's the title of my little thing. And the text I'd like us to look at, where is the text? Psalm 27. In la Biblia. Okay. Psalm 27. I don't know what the number is. Cinco, whatever. You know, I don't know it. This psalm will give us, or shows us, four privileges that God has given to all Christians. Four privileges that God has given to all Christians. And this is our privilege. We're privileged people. We are privileged people. When we say about somebody being privileged, you know, and say, "Wow, that is an amazing, you're related to this person," or "That's your last name," or "This is amazing." Well, let me tell you something. We are privileged people. And Psalm 27 is going to tell us this. And so because we have, this psalm gives us four, or shows us four privileges that we have. Four privileges that we have that God has given to every Christian. That includes you. That includes me. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your education. It doesn't matter. If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, Cristo te ama. If you know Cristo te ama as Salvador, then you have these privileges. You have these privileges. And what are these privileges? In Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3, the psalm shows us the privilege of having confidence in Him. Confidence in God. And then in verses 4 through 6, we have the privilege of coming to Him. So we have the privilege of having confidence in Him, and we have the privilege of coming to Him. And then we have the privilege in verses 7 through 13 of crying to Him. Of crying to Him. You know, a lot of us, and then verse 14, we're going to go through the whole psalm. In verse 14, we have the privilege of courage from Him. Courage from Him. So the Lord is, what a great thing He's done for us. Now notice this. This is one of my favorite psalms. I believe in the inerrant, inspired text, no questions about it, and it's equally inspired. Plenary, verbal, plenary inspiration, all that great stuff. But I love this passage. I love this passage because it really speaks to my heart the real basic issues that plague me and that will also plague you. And I can come to Him. And I can come to Him. Look at verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I don't care who you are. I don't care who you are. And what, how you present yourself. It doesn't matter. We're fearful. Our hearts are nervous, especially in today's climate, in today's culture, especially in today's culture. We are a needy people. We are needy persons. We have incredible need that we dare not share with anybody else, but God knows. God knows that need. God knows it. And notice what he says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. And so we see the confidence in God as our provision. And notice what I said. God, we have confidence in God as our provision. So we think that God is going to do things for us and give us stuff, and we think of provisions that way. But when God thinks of it, he gives of himself to us. He gives of himself. He is our provision. The very God of the universe who spoke the worlds into existence. He said, let there be light. He is our provision. That's what separates us from every other religion. Separates Christianity from every other religion. And that is, we have a relationship with this all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving, all-caring, all-holy God. And that's just not pie in the sky. You were telling me earlier about God answers prayer. Well, God answers prayer. Why? Because we have a relationship with him. We're going to get to that in just a second. But he is our provision. Everything that we need is wrapped up in him. If I have him, what more do I need? What more do I need? I go to him. Of course, we live in a physical world and we need money, we need table and chairs, we need these kinds of things, but God knows our needs and provides as we trust him. The Lord is my light. A lot of us are fearing the darkness. Don't fear the darkness, because why? The Lord is my light. And my salvation. And so that salvation, we often think of salvation as, you know, forgiveness of sins because of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's salvation walking down the street. It's salvation driving your car. It's salvation from physical harm. That's all wrapped up in it together. The thing about being born again, when I trust in Jesus as my personal Savior, recognizing that Jesus is God in the flesh, that he did die on that cross, that he rose again physically from the dead for us. And then when I trust him as my Savior, I have everlasting life. And with that comes these privileges. God constantly wants us to know that he loves us. You know, he constantly wants us to know that he loves us. There is a move in evangelism that says, you know, what you got to do is you got to tell them they're going to hell. You know, you're not, you know, and I, yes, that's bad news. Yes, you got to get them lost before you get them saved. That's the idea of this kind of stuff. But what's wrong with telling somebody that God loves them? What's wrong with telling somebody that God, somebody has criticized that gospel tract, Four Spiritual Laws. Law number one, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Well, you shouldn't say that. Why? God loves you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die on that cross to provide for us salvation. That's not love. Greater love than this, than no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Well, Jesus laid down his life for us who are enemies. So God doesn't love me? I try to go with how the Spirit of God's leading me to tell somebody about Christ initially. That's what you have to do. But he is the light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? I mean, there's so much to unpack in that phrase, in that sentence. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall I fear? Now, you're looking at a big fraidy cat. Yeah, I'm a fraidy cat, no questions about it. I was talking to Hulk Hogan one time, and I asked him, you know who Hulk Hogan is? Yeah, I asked him if wrestling was fake. Bad question. Bad question. And he said, oh no, brother, oh no. Oh no, and his eyes are rolling up, you know. Oh no, 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 no. And I said, well, it's really, and then he starts telling me how somebody tried to bite his thumb off and how he had this scar. And he said, and the Hulkster, he starts talking third person. He goes, the Hulkster took care of that guy. You know? He said that, you know. And I said, well, you know, is it tough being a, stand up for a second. Which is wrong. He said, I don't beat me up. That doesn't put your mind around this. Yeah, I'm standing right there. So I'm standing talking to him, and I said, is it fake? He goes, oh no. Ha! And he starts going to do this fireman thing. He makes it down. So I scream like a little girl. You know, and he thought that was really funny. And he's laughing at me, Hulk Hogan, 6'6". The guy, his biceps were bigger than my thighs. Oh, my word. I don't know how we got onto that. It's amazing. But our God, I have no fear. I have no fear. Because of Jesus. I have no fear. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You have fears. I have fears. There's no questions about it. I'm a scaredy cat. That's the tie of the Hulk. Just incredible. And then notice verse 2 and 3. When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, and they stumbled and fell, though a whole host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Now David would know that, wouldn't he? On one side of the mountain is Saul trying to kill him, and he's on the other side. The whole host should encamp against me. Wow. My heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. So, Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Quatros, no. Uno, dos, tres, cuatro. 26, 3 and 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. For in the Lord God Jehovah is everlasting strength. We feel so weak. I've noticed something about myself as I get older. I'm getting weaker. I'm not getting stronger, I'm getting weaker. I think you gotta start lifting, you geriatric guys and gals, you know, you gotta start lifting just to maintain. You gotta do that just to maintain mobility, not to look buff, trim, cut, all that kind of like me. But that's a joke. You just to maintain. But he is our strength. He is our strength. He is our, you know, we are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, right? You know that song. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so, right? He is strong. We are weak, but he is strong. My heart shall not fear. And in this I will be confident. I'm going to ask you a question, okay? Can I get a little personal with you? What's the fear that is gripping your heart right now? Don't have to answer me, but what's the fear that grips your heart? Is it possible that you can turn that fear over to the Lord and he can take care of it? Is that possible? The answer is absolutely. I like it. You don't have to turn there. I hate when people say that. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Ain't that a kicker? This is so rich. It's incredible. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You know what that word casting is talking about? Like rolling upon. But it has the idea. Do you remember, Danny, you got to help me with this, because do they still have night safety deposit drop boxes? You don't know?
Yes.
They do? Okay, a night safety deposit box, usually the person that has a key to it, or I guess that's what they do. We have a guy, Bob Miller, who goes to our assembly, and he ran a pizza place. And then 2 a.m, and he was armed, he would take his receipts, all his money, and he would take that and zip it and lock it, you know. And he would go to this night safety deposit box in the wall, right? And I guess he had a key, and he unlocked it, opened it up, and slid that money that he made in there. Then he shut the door and stayed there all night, right? Somebody said no? No, you said no? No? They didn't stay there all. He didn't stay there all night and watched it. Why didn't he do that?
You don't need to.
I say again?
You don't need to.
No need to. Okay. What? You don't need to. So you don't need to. Why don't you need to?
It's in a safe place.
Nice and loud. I can't hear.
It's in a safe place.
It's in a safe place. They're going to take care of it. So Bob could have gone home and went to bed, right? And relaxed, right? That's the word, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. It has the idea of taking all your troubles and all your fears, going to that night safety deposit box, putting them in there with the Lord, locking it and going home and trusting that He will take care of it. That's exactly the Greek rendering of that. How's that one for you? So you can take all your fears, you can take all your, all those things that really trouble you, and you can just leave it with the Lord. You can roll it upon Him. You can cast all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So what is it that's gripping your heart in fear? Take it, deposit it, and don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. That's exactly what he's talking about. And this is reflecting here in David's Psalm, Psalm 27. In this will I be confident. Why? Why was he confident? Because he knew his God. He knew that God would do that. He knew that God would take care of him. And so, you know, this is the thing that we can have. You know, we did an open air meeting one time, and sometimes you don't even know that this is happening. We did an open air meeting in Chicago one time. A whole bunch of us. We had four vans. Quattro vans. Vans, big vans. And we put one, and they all were specially equipped and all that for open air meetings, you know, and the movie meetings. And so we put all our tarps out. We parked one van over here, and then we had three vans, one for the movie, one for the message, one for the follow-up. Got it? Okay, we're doing this. But as we're setting up, we hear firecrackers. Pop, 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 pop. And if you're used to open-air evangelism, you don't give it another thought. You go, okay, that's just, I hope it's just firecrackers. You know, hope it's not gunfire, you know. But that's what it is. That's what we did, okay? Got it? Well, we did this meeting, and I had somebody guard the lone van over here, because sometimes they put glass underneath the tires, and then when you roll, you pop the tires. Or they try to put sugar or sand in your gas tank. And that kind of thing. You've got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, right? So this is what the score was. We had later, during that summer, we had a team stay at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, the second oldest rescue mission in the United States, New York Rescue Mission being number one, or the Macaulay Water Street Mission. Okay, you got a picture of this? So they're at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. And they're this team that we placed there, and they let them stay there. This team ran into a guy, and the guy goes to the girl, one of the girls, he goes, "I remember you." She goes, "What? How do you remember me? This guy is at the Pacific Garden Mission, you know, to get ministered to." And he goes, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "You were at this school." It was this playground. "You were at this school, and you had this movie meeting, you had this," and he described the whole thing. She goes, "Yeah." He goes, "We were a gang on top of the building with binoculars, waiting and looking for the next rival gang that was going to come, and we were going to, in the old days, they would call it rumble. Chains, meat cleavers, pistols. They were going to kill each other. And they were going to do it right in that where we..." And we pulled up. We pulled up. Now, this girl that he remembers was shoved by him onto the kids. She was like on the outskirts. She's one of our team, and she was shoved by this guy. And he said, "You want to know why I shoved you?" And she fell on top of the kid. She goes, "Why? Why'd you do that?" He said, "Because the other gang leader had a pistol and he was pointing it right at you to shoot you, and I shoved you out of the way and he didn't pull the trigger." Who knew? Who knew? In this I will be confident. In this. The Lord protects. And when he allows something to happen to us in doing his will, when he allows something to happen, God will make it great. God will make that great. And so we have no fear on this. Okay, how about picking this sermon up here, Chris? How about picking this up? Because we look at this, and then so look at verses 4 through 6. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." 27 verse quatros. 27 quatros. Four, verse 4. We have a desire. Notice this. A desired coming. In other words, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Our focus has to be him. We don't go to a physical temple anymore. We go, Jesus said, we worship him in spirit and in truth. So you don't have to go to a temple in Jerusalem. You can stand there and pray to the living God. That very second. Momentarily, every time, all 365 and a quarter, every moment, 24/7, you can come to him. We don't realize this. We don't realize the privilege that he has given. We come boldly before the throne of grace to find help and grace in time of need. And we always need. I feel like, what about Bob, the movie? What about Bob, where he's standing there, Dr. Leo Marvin. He goes, I need. I'm not a slacker. I need. Well, that's me all the way. And our God delights in that. Our culture is telling us that we need to be self-sufficient. We're not. It's a lie. We are so dependent on him. It's incredible. I mean, take another breath, will you? Just realize that breath comes from him. Think about that for a moment. We got teeth in our head. Who gave you those teeth? You got enzymes that breaks down the food and the candy and all that stuff, but breaks it down. Who gave you that? You did it? You did it yourself? You thought, let's order some enzymes? You know, let's get some new teeth or something like that. I mean, this is crazy. It's God who provides. We want to seek him. We're a poor people. We are a poor people spiritually if we do not rely on him 100% of the time. We're poor and foolish. Poor and foolish. And so he says, you know, we come to him. Notice verse 4. "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." Notice verse 5. It's a fortified coming. Notice this. "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. He shall set me up upon a rock. You're not going to sink. You're not going to sink. You trust God, God will bless your life. And then I like verse 6. And now shall my head be lifted above mine enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises unto the Lord. The Lord, and it took me 52 miles to get here. It did. It took me 52 miles, about an hour. A little over an hour to get here, right? And I'm thinking to myself, when I'm on the east side, it was snowing. Snow covered all night, get on 296, and then all of a sudden it cleared up, Nice pavement and all that kind of stuff. But before, it wasn't. You had the same experience? Yeah. You think to yourself, and I'm thinking to myself, why? Why are we here? You're here because you have incredible needs, and you're looking for the answer to those needs. This isn't some club. This isn't something I come to and I get some club and I check this box off, this religious box that I'm doing. No, you came here because you want to have answers. I'm telling you, the answer for your life is not found in somebody else giving you answers. The answer is found in Him. You have a relationship with Him. He will bless your socks off if you trust Him. And if you don't trust Him, you're going to miss that blessing. We're foolish if we don't. Wouldn't you say that? Be foolish? If we had an incredible opportunity for blessing and we didn't avail ourselves of it, we didn't do it. We just said, "Oh well, forget it. I'll do it myself." You need a checkup from the neck up, right? You'd be going, "That's crazy! You're crazy!" If we were watching us in a movie, we'd be going, "Trust Him!" You would be screaming at the TV. Trust Him. That's the only way. Trust Him. That's what we would be doing. That would be the wisest thing. And that's what David is telling us. It's based off of His Word. We need to know what to trust Him. Not only Him, but how He'll work in our lives. He will do this. And so we look at this and we say, man, and then also, we worship Him. And then notice verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. Does that sound like the guy is desperate? Does that sound like that David is desperate? I say he sounds desperate. And he knows that the only way to get that answered is to cry to Him. We have that privilege to cry to Him. How many of you have wept in pouring out your hearts to Him? You've just wept. You throw yourself and you say, there's no other answer except Jesus Christ. And I trust you. Yeah, me too. And sometimes you don't want to share with people how desperate that is in your own life, because all of a sudden it comes from down deep inside. You go, God, you've got to do this. God, you've got to work. He will work. He will do this. When you said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto you, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The God of the universe desires you to seek his face. Wow. Hide not your face from me. Put not your servant away in anger. I think of Psalm 130. He says, Lord, in fact, let me just read it. Psalm 130, verse 1. I think it's verse 1. Out of the depths have I cried unto you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. And here's the verse. Here's the verse. Lord, if thou, Lord, should mark iniquities, who shall stand? Nobody. We're sinful. Pecado. We're sin. We have sin in our lives. And if you mark iniquities, whoever will stand? Nobody. Nobody will stand. That's why he sent Jesus Christ to be the Savior of the world. Not my education, not my bankroll, not my family heritage. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christos. Paid for my pecado. Washed me clean. Isn't that fantastic? Oh, we're privileged. I get to call you brother. I get to call you sister. Because we're brother and sister in Christ. And there's nothing better than this. I mean, there's nothing. Who's got anything better than this? I'd like to know. I asked that in Wall Street one time, in front of a huge crowd, in the open air. I said, you got anybody got anything better than this? A home in heaven? Forgiveness of sins, meaning and purpose in life, and knowing that you are forgiven. Anybody got anything better than this? Go ahead. And I actually said this to all these suits who worked at the stock exchange. And I said, anybody got anything better? Go ahead. Tell us. For the first time in a long time, they didn't say a word. Because there's nothing better than this. Nothing better than this. So we're privileged. We are so privileged. And notice verse 10, because I am an orphan myself. My father and my mother are both gone. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. And then he says, teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the plain path. Because of my enemies. The plain path. It's not complicated. It's not like, I don't know. Is this it? No. The plain path. It's a straight path. It's really, really straight. He'll show you. He shows you how to walk. He shows you, and it's straight as an arrow. Don't deliver me unto, verse 12, unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I think we need to pray for the former president of the United States, because they are accusing that man of stuff that is just unbelievable. Falsely. They are. Sorry, they are. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I like verse 14. I'm sorry I'm gone a little over. Verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Because it takes courage. Got all this stuff going on around us. It's tough for us to wait on the Lord. Lord, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I feel like Moses when they went through the Red Sea, and all of a sudden here comes the Egyptian army. And he's going to wait on the Lord. They were panicking. Wait on me. I will work in your lives. Just trust me. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And He will strengthen your heart. Wait. I say. This is God talking. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Okay, you want to sing? You want to sing? You like singing? Nobody's nodding here. Okay, everybody's sighing. I'm going to teach you a song. It's in the English, but it's verse 14. Verse 14. Okay? And maybe you can put Google Translator on this one. Google Translator, okay? It goes like this. Wait, it's right off of this passage, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I know it's pretty bad, sorry. Okay, you guys ready? Let's sing it. I don't care how good or bad it is, right? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let's sing it again, ready? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. One more time! Ready? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Father, we ask You that we can do this. We're so scared sometimes. We face life and it freaks us out. We look at life and we're terrified. We want to look at life like You look at life. And we want Your will in our lives. So forgive us when we have felt that we can live this life by ourselves and in our own wisdom and in our own strength. How foolish are we? We want to wait on You. You will give us good courage. You will strengthen our hearts. We want to wait on You because You are the God of the universe and You are our God. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.